Welcome back to another episode of the Data Fitness Business Podcast. And today we're talking about the 7-11-4 principle, which is going to be essential to bring in the right customers into your business. Dan, can you remember what 7-11-4 means? I've got it written down, so I'm okay.
Yeah, 7 hours. Hours of content, 11 different touch points in 4 different locations.
You get 3 out of 3, 100% score. Well done, mate.
Yes.
So we have talked about this before, I think, in previous podcasts, and actually it does link into all the other stuff you do as a coach. So it's really, really important to make sure you get this right. But obviously we're having a bit of a chat before the podcast because we're professionals, and it's quite surprising how many coaches haven't thought through this principle with their content, with their coaching tools, I suppose. So we're going to go through it today and hopefully give you some ideas on why maybe you aren't reaching the right people and maybe why you aren't getting the amount of inquiries in your business. And Dan, you were saying something just now before we went on. Maybe just go over that again.
Yeah, I think it's important because if you take a principle like this, it allows you to focus on actually the metrics that matter around the business rather than getting caught up in like one piece of content. Or why did that content perform really well and this one didn't? Or this performed well on this platform and this not so well on this one. And whilst there are reasons for that, if you try and find that every time you're looking at a piece of content, I feel that you're just going to go mad, not going crazy. So yeah. By having a principle like this, you can understand that, okay, where am I going to be? What are the platforms I'm on? How's that content going to be distributed, long form, short form, and then the touch points across there, like how are they going to work as well? If you just look at that as a principle, it's the same as calorie deficit, right? Consume less than you expend. How are you going to do that? You could do that any number of ways you want, but it's the overall principle that you're working towards. So I feel like it would just give coaches less of a headache if you can focus on it.
Yeah, because we have said in the past about like going into analytics and looking at like what videos have performed well and why they perform well, and you know, maybe taking something from that. But again, you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to get too anal about, oh, why is that one video done so much better than the others? Because it might just be a fluke. And I was saying to you before that I had that TikTok video. I mean, I'm not a big one for TikTok, but I do post multiple posts on there. And all the videos, because I post this podcast clip videos, and all of them were like, they're all about sort of the same sort of number of views. And I posted one the other day, it was like over 3,000 views, which is quite high for me. I was like, well, what's so different about that? And it was like, it was the only one that you were in. I was like, well, it can't be that. It can't be the fact that like, Dan's bringing stuff down.
Right. But I worked it out though. It's because it was. And then people were watching it again, just thinking like, oh my God, where's Dan?
Where is he? Where's he gone? Yeah. But it was, I mean, there were some differences about it, but I caught myself thinking about it for about 5 minutes. I thought, it's just one of those things. You know, it was a bit longer than other videos. It was the way I did the video was slightly different. So I am going to apply that again. I mean, that is the key thing, isn't it? Is if you get a video that does well, you want to know why it's done well, but also it might just be a complete fluke that you've touched on a topic which loads of people want to hear about.
Oh yeah, massively. Like so many factors come into that, like timing, the length of that clip, the relevance of it at that time, like what was going on at that time. Is it something that was going on in what's the word? So you can tell me running on like 2 hours sleep there.
It's the current affairs, isn't it?
Current affairs, that's what I was looking for. I'm going culture. So current affairs, and if you nail that at the right timing and everything, the recipe there, like you've got you won't be able to pinpoint it, or you can try and replicate that time and time again. But then would you be better off just going, okay, these are the things I'm going to try and focus my efforts and energy on, and that way if I know that I'm trying to be seen enough in certain areas, then over time that's going to have an effect.
I think an example of that is when that whole thing about the Liver King came out, you know, about the fact that he wasn't natural, and he wasn't natural. I did a video on that, basically talking about you know, are you surprised that he's not natural? You know, but also the fact that he, from what he was supposed to be taking or what he was taking, it wasn't actually that much, like, as in terms of what bodybuilders and stuff would think of it is like an amount. And actually, that one did actually do really well because it was current, talking about, you know, stuff that was on the current agenda. But also, it attracted a lot of hate comments from people. And I was like, okay, that's all right. As long as it boosts my ratings up, I don't really mind.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the same example as that, Liver King, when that was the same time, same period. It was a 7-second clip. And then it was tied in with a clip of like from the Elf film. And that reel now still has stuff happening on my thing. It's got like 800,000 views or something.
Wow. And
the comments have just gone. The comments are their own. People having arguments in the comments. I'm like, just leave it.
But I suppose from that, like, neither me or you is looking to attract clients from who want to take gear and get massive. Well, me not anymore anyway, because I'm not in bodybuilding anymore. But you know, we're not. So that doesn't really speak to our target market. So although it's like, it's a bit of fun to put out and a bit of entertainment, it's not really something that's going to, like, you know, you're not going to get people go, oh, I saw your Liver King video and now I want to work with you.
No.
It's more the personality development, isn't it? Which is, again, something to think about when you're doing your content, is some things are just fun and show your personality, and some things are designed to get people into your ecosystem.
Yeah. Created it in, I mean, it took me like some minutes to create or something like that, and then posted it. And you just don't expect, well, it's just a bit of fun, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The other pieces of content, the content that you go, oh my God, right, why isn't that got as many views, or why has that got like 5 likes or whatever? And they're the pieces of content that people are actually going to take in, hopefully anyway, take in, and then it's over time. So if you are then working to those principles, and okay, I think we'll probably come on to that, is you think about how much attention is required for someone scrolling through Instagram reels. It's seconds, isn't it? Like, those first few seconds are really important. So not only do you have to capture their attention, then how many times do you have to do that to fill that first 7 hours? So if you think about that, it's like, okay, how can you shorten that? Potentially looking at, okay, I'm going to have some long form content somewhere where I can kind of build that 7-hour process.
And I think the relevance of 7 hours, if, because we didn't say it at the beginning, if anyone's watching this going, why are you talking about 7 hours? Is that 7 hours is the amount of time that you need to have in contact with somebody in order to determine that you want to buy from them. And normally when you first meet somebody, you'll know, you know, your first impressions will know if you're like, you like them or not. But it's different from, oh, I like this person, to I want to buy from this person. So there's those three elements of knowing them, liking them, and then trusting them. And the trusting element is the 7 hours of, okay, I've known them for 7 hours. If they were going to be a spammy idiot who is going to try and con me, you would hope you would see that in 7 hours. But yeah, obviously some people don't, but that's the relevance of 7 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then that goes back to like some of the processes we talked about before. So the way that you can break down that 7 hours by using different forms of content itself. So you're not having to then just rely on the seconds of reels to build that. Potentially whereabouts else can you create content that's a bit more in depth, so that you can build that trust. And I think the other thing that we've also mentioned before is, you can see that process in action if you've got like your email software, for example, is a good place to look at that, because you could see every single point, or if you tag people in certain things when they go through stuff, and then to the point of actually purchasing from you, signing up, or maybe taking an action, look back and you can see all the things that they've been through, all the stuff they've downloaded, the free things they've gone through, all the sequences they've gone through, and it's taken that amount to then get them to take this action. And I was saying that's this in action. It's this live, you know, the whole 7-11-4 thing playing out.
Yeah, the email thing is a really good point, because I know you still use ActiveCampaign. I use Mail Alike, and you can, I know in ActiveCampaign you can tag people, and in Mail Alike they use groups. So if someone comes into, say, one of your lead magnets, such as like if you've got like a score app quiz or, you know, blueprint or whatever, you can put them into different groups or tag them. And then once they've reached like a critical mass of tags or group memberships or whatever else, you can then have an automation set up to say, hey, I've just seen that you've downloaded a number of my lead magnets and you've replied to this and this and the other. Should we have a conversation about working together? Would you like to have a chat about that?
Cool. That's good.
Yeah, don't steal that. I'm going to steal your stuff so you can steal mine if you want. But yeah, it's that thing of like a lot of people, it's the premise of a spear email, isn't it? You know, short, personal, expect and reply. A lot of people won't act unless you ask them to act. And you know, coaches always go, oh, I'll just put this content out and then I'll just wait there and then people will contact me and then I can sell them my program. But it don't work like that. It never works like that, really.
No, it's the I always term it as like proactive and reactive. So like when you post stuff out there, you're just being reactive, aren't you? You're waiting. Mm. Like, cool, one day, today's the day. And then the proactive approach is actually going out there. And when I say that, I think people get misconstrued with spammy DMs and cold DMs and that. So it's not, it's just being proactive in speaking to those people in your audience who are potentially giving you signs that they're like, oh no, I do, oh, this is really interesting, or thank you for this and that. And you just open up conversation. If you don't want to do that, or you're not comfortable with it, I don't know. I think just things take a little bit longer.
You know, I had a really good experience the other day. Is I follow a couple of like business coaches on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. And one of the guys I've actually been on one of the courses for, he had a course which was about to start running again, and it wasn't a course that I was ready to do, but I liked the post because it was a really nice. It was good the way he wrote it was put. I thought, great, I like that. And actually he sent me a DM and said, hi, Tom, I see you like my post about the program that's starting soon. Would you like to have a chat about that? And I thought, that's essentially a cold DM, isn't it? I have liked his post,
but
it's essentially a cold DM. I thought, no, that's, do you know what? I quite like that because it's not, hey, thanks for connecting, you know, that sort of the other. It's like, you know, would you like to have a chat about that? You know, if you're ready. And we actually did have a chat and I said, no, you know, I'm not ready at the moment. It's not something, you know, because it's quite an expensive course to do. And I thought, I'm just not ready just yet to do it. But we had a good conversation, a good chat. And he recommended some other stuff to look at. I was like, oh, cheers. But so I didn't buy from that, but I definitely will in the future when I'm ready to do that course. And that's what people, I think, miss is that not every DM needs to lead to a sale. It's not like push a sale. It was not confrontational, it was not pushy, it was, do you want to have a chat about that? And I did like the way it was done, so I'm probably going to use that in my coaching as well, because it was good, it was polite, it was the right way to do it.
But that's exactly how it should be, isn't it? It's just conversation. But again, we get into our own heads maybe a little bit, like, I can't do that, or I feel a certain way around it. And I don't see what you're doing wrong. It's not like you're not doing that to a complete stranger, even though you might not know them. They've interacted in your piece of content. So you can just go out there. And we do similar things. Like we will say with a piece of content that is very specific to solve a problem for your audience, if people interact in that, what's to stop you going and reaching out to them to say, hey, I really appreciate you interacting in this or liking that post or whatever it was. What was it about that post that stood out to you? What was it that resonated most of it? And then it's like, oh, cool. It's the way you explain this, the way you talked about that. Oh, mega, let's have a chat about it. Then instantly you're in a conversation, but you're not going, do you want to buy my shit? Like, sign up to my program. Like, because they'd be like, well, it's a bit weird. It's not, don't go at it with that expectation. Go at it with no expectation and just have a conversation. That we've kind of lost that a little bit because of the, I blame the do you want a Hormozy style content, or do you want something?
Would you be interested in having us create Hormozy style content for you? I had about 7 of those DMs like every week from like random people. Hey, I like what you're doing in the fitness space. Would you like us to create some Hormozy style captions for you? No, thank you.
The new ones I've got now is, hey Dan, coming from the Explore page, just seen your content, can I ask you something? And I've had four of them in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's the same. Can I ask you something? And I just leave them. But then like these guys, these guys actually give me like follow-ups. Woo. But I'm like, I replied to one of them. I said, yeah, you can ask me a question as long as it doesn't involve creating me short form content with Formosi style captions. And he went, oh yeah, good one. Huh? It doesn't actually, but I'm getting that a lot. And I was like, I bet you are. And then he went on to pitch me his short form content. I was like, I can see what you've done there, but still, yeah. I'm not interested, mate.
I had one from ministry come through the other day, and I get ones from ministry all the time. Hey, I see your website. I see you're not doing Facebook ads. But you're leaving money on the table by not doing Facebook ads. I can get you 100 new leads using our whatever bullshit. But this one stood out as particularly idiotic. And it said something like, "Hi Tom, I know it said hi guys because they never get to research who actually owns the gym. You know, so it's me or Curtis that owns the gym. Me and Curtis owns the gym." So they didn't bother doing that. They said, oh, hi guys, I love your website. It made me want to change to your gym, even though I've just joined another gym. And pitch, you know, it's just like straight in. It was like that title at the beginning was just didn't relate to any of the stuff that came. And it was, again, Facebook ads, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, I don't know you. I don't know you at all. And yeah, okay, you tried to engage and build rapport at the beginning, but it's like, it just you're not going to buy off it. I mean, I don't know anybody who responds to those messages going, oh, do you know what? Yeah, I would like to have some Facebook ads, please, from person I don't know and have never met before. Please do pitch me your business more so than you've already done.
Yeah, I do wonder how it works. Is it just spend all their time doing that, or do people actually do buy into it? I don't know.
I suppose some people must buy, because otherwise they wouldn't have the money for Facebook ads, would they?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff I see coming through my feed, I know we talked about this on the last episode, like every third post on Facebook is now an advert, and I think every fourth one on Instagram is an advert, or vice versa. So all I see on my feed is like, you know, scale your business, scale your gym, scale, you know, vegan recipe book, blah, 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 you know. And Viagra, because I'm now over 40. Jokes on them, though. I get Viagra on prescription because of my heart attack last year. Not that I need Viagra. Just edit that bit out.
I don't know where we are now.
I've forgotten something about 7.11.4, I think. We were going to talk about touch points, weren't we? So,
yeah.
Because I suppose the DMs is a touch point, isn't it? So, 7 hours of content, people have digested your content, but also the touch points, DMs, messages, that sort of thing, interactions on comments on Facebook groups and that sort of thing. That's all still going towards that 7 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the touch points would be because you need to engage with people. It's not just enough to, like, say if you watched a 7 hour film, which a lot of us do on Netflix, you know, of say, let's say I watch 7 hours of Kevin Hart, and then I see on my Instagram Kevin Hart's workout plan or clothes, whatever he's selling at the moment, pops up. That's not going to encourage me to buy that. I wouldn't buy Kevin Hart's stuff. I like him as a comedian, but I wouldn't buy his whatever he's selling on Instagram at the moment. Because although I've watched 7 hours of his stuff, it's not engaged me to actually trust him enough to buy those products.
Yeah.
And I love The Rock, but I wouldn't buy some of The Rock's, like, I wouldn't buy Zoa, for example, the drink. Yeah, but I love The Rock. So you, as well as having that 7 hours, you've got to have those touch points and engaging with people. And obviously we talked about conversations and that before, but it's important that people can come into your ecosystem. And that's what, lead magnets, messages, emails. Have I missed any?
Messages, emails, live events, trainings, yeah. Webinars.
Yeah, Facebook lives, that sort of thing, you know, yeah. Instagram lives, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the key thing here, which we've alluded to, is you must engage with people. You know, you must reply to their comments. It's not enough to just, if someone comments on your thing, I don't think it's enough to just like it.
Yeah.
I think you should comment if it's appropriate to comment back and say, yeah, at least thanks, mate, or something like that.
I do feel like maybe it's just personal preferences or just the way people are sometimes, but it's almost common courtesy to just at least reply or acknowledge something. I've always been fascinated with the stuff that I'm not just saying this because it does put me out. I'm not going to lie. It puts me out a little bit.
Go on a rant. Go on.
Great. This stuff. Rant, and you go like, oh, right. Great. This thing. It's going to help you solve this problem. Right. Do you want it? It's free. You can have it. Right, put time, energy, effort into this. I've actually tested it, tried it. I know it works. Here you go. You can have this thing. And then people are like, yeah, I want the thing. Cool. Here's the thing. Just no acknowledgement, nothing. And not even like a thank you. Just, yeah, thanks for that. Which I find fascinating because I'm the kind of person who like will reply to every single message, every comment, every email that comes through, even if it's to do with like, I'm trying to find an event location, like a new location for one of our events. And I've inquired with like 10 different places. And I'll reply to every single one, even if they're like, you know, this is how much this one is. It's going to cost you 20 grand. I'm like, well, I can't do that. But I'll still reply because otherwise it's rude. It's freaking rude. At the end of the day, it's just courtesy to just say, oh, thanks for that. And I will always remember the people who do. This is the other thing. You remember everyone who takes the time to reply or message you with something. I remember all of those people. People don't. Right, just get fucked.
it is, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what you'll like about this, especially obviously just having a young baby, is that, I mean, I get a lot of messages during the day, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, all that sort of stuff. I'm a bugger for reading something and going, oh, I'll just reply to that in a second, and then put my phone down and then come back like an hour later. Oh, I didn't reply to that thing, or like a couple of days later. And I feel really bad about doing that if I have like not replied to someone. Yeah. So quite often, if you know me personally, you'll get a reply back 2 days later going, mate, I'm really sorry for I didn't reply. You know, I thought I'd replied. Because sometimes in my head, I've thought about the reply and I thought, okay, that's done. And not actually replied it.
Done that. What?
But it is rude, isn't it? If someone doesn't reply to me, I go, well, that's rude. Why even, you know, just to say thanks, but fuck off, you know, or whatever, or no thanks, you know. The other thing we've done recently at ministry is, you know, I don't know, are you at a commercial gym?
Yeah.
One of them. Have you had a period where you haven't gone for a while and they've sent you an email to say, hey, no?
I haven't recently. I haven't been for a while.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing is that if you're paying someone for, like, you know, relate this to coaching as well. If someone hasn't checked in for a while, you know, yeah. Why aren't you? I know some coaches will say, oh no, if they don't check in, that's their fault. You know, they haven't checked in with me, so that's they've missed their time. You know, but if they haven't checked in with you, why not drop them a message to say, hey, you haven't checked in for a while. Now everything might be great, and that's great, but could you just let me know that everything's great because I'm concerned about you as a coach.
Yeah.
We do the same thing at ministry. If someone doesn't come for, I think it's actually 14 days. If they haven't been for 14, no, we set it for 18 days. So if they had a 2 week like holiday and they haven't come. So we set it about 18 days. If someone doesn't come for 18 days, they get a message. And that's it is an automated message, but it's from me to say, hi, you haven't been for a while. And we're just concerned that maybe you need a bit of help, you know, and we know that things can get on top of you, you know, and then you're out of your routine and everything else. Can we do anything to help? You know, can we help you with your nutrition? Can we help you with the training? Can we give you some motivation to get back to the gym? And since we've been started doing that, we have had so many more members retain. And people have replied back saying, hey, thanks for the concern, but I'm actually on holiday. Or thanks for the concern, I've broken my leg or whatever. But actually from those things, when people say, oh, I've broken my leg, I've been ill, I've had COVID, all those things, we've been like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. We haven't been for a month, so what we'll do is we'll just give you a credit for a month. And they weren't expecting that,
yeah,
but it's like, oh, thanks, you know. And actually you're showing that you care, and you should do that the same with your coaching.
Yeah, definitely. have that those touch points there, and like you say, it can be automated to an extent. Yeah. But yeah, we go through it. That question comes up a lot in our group, where this client's not checked in for a while, or they're not sending. And it's always the thing, like, just it's the same approach, but just reaching out to them. Not to say like, why haven't you checked in?
Yeah,
just ask what's if you're all right. That's the only thing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because a lot, I think you see people go, oh, you don't see on social media, oh, you haven't checked in your window, so you've missed your opportunity for this week. You know, that takes the personal thing out of coaching for me.
Yeah. All clients must check in by Sunday, 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Instagram post. Clients remember to put, you know, because obviously all their clients on Instagram, all their Instagram followers are clients. You know, but I've got 10,000 Instagram followers, but for the 100 clients I've got, this is for you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Touch points is you can do a lot more with touch points, obviously in the coaching process, but so you could have more touch points from someone coming into your social media, or just so they can get experiences of you in different places. I feel like we mentioned lead magnets, emails, all that kind of stuff. But building out your own system so that you can almost manage those touch points with that person as they come into your world, rather than social media is very much like, put this out there and there's a 1% chance that someone's going to see it, the right person. So maybe they'll see it. This is the time. Or you could take that person away from social media and then you then manipulate the points that they see. And then you could put into that, you know, a video or maybe a quiz or something else that they can build that know, like, and trust with you. And then, you know, over a period of time, hopefully there's going to be enough to satisfy that criteria, so they're like, oh, I want to reach out to you now. And if they're not, then you've got more stuff that you can manipulate, so you can look at why that's not working or change it to something else, or change the structure. Maybe you create a different process for it, or you add a video in here, or whatever it is. But you've got stuff that you can actually look at to see if it's working, rather than social media. Oh, you know, that reel got 500,000 views in this one. And they're like, numbers that don't freaking mean anything. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on it.
Well, yeah, and also, although you might have like X amount of views on reels, you don't know who those people are, do you? Because, you know, you might, if you put up, like I said, the Liver King thing or whatever funny reel that we posted up, half the people who watch that might not even be interested in coaching or getting coached or even going to the gym or anything to do with what you coach. They've seen it, liked it, and gone, that's funny. So yeah, you could be providing entertainment, but it's not enhancing your business.
No.
Whereas with your, like you said, with your email, you can see who's open, well, to an extent anyway, you can see who's open what, where they are in your chain, what they might benefit from seeing next. Because you can set up automations as well to say, like, they've downloaded like the content thing, they've taken the quiz. So actually what they might benefit from is doing this next, you know. Yes. And you can set up an email to say that, you know, although it's a bit big brothery, isn't it? But, you know, I don't think maybe people would mind that. Hey, I've seen you've done this and you've done this. This might also be of relevance to you. Or here's a video that you might find helpful.
Yeah, we have got that in our process. So they go through from a lead magnet and then they come into a quiz, and then off the back of the quiz results, they're either taken different ways. And so it is a little bit more personal. Here's your score on this certain area. Here's what you can do. Or here's some stuff to help out with that. And then it's like, oh, it is kind of tailored. I think we've got the ability to be able to do that nowadays. We should be looking at trying to personalize that experience a little bit more. Whereas maybe in the past, we'd probably, well, maybe there was still that opportunity there, but it's not as easy to do. But now I think with all the technology there now, you can do that. You can personalize it a little bit more. So it does feel a bit more like, oh, it's specific to me, someone coming into your world.
I mean, that comes back into, you know, when we talked about niche all those weeks ago, you know, you want to have a product that's solved this specific problem for someone with a specific problem for a specific person, you know. Yeah. So people want to think that, oh, that's good, that's ideal for me, rather than, oh, here's a program, say, for fat loss, you know, oh, it's just a fat loss program, anyone can do it. But like we said, I think we talked about this on last week's podcast, it's going to be different for different people. So they want to know that, yeah, it's a fat loss program, but is it going to know about like my lifestyle? Is it going to know about what type of training I like, what type of food I like, for example? And you can really personalize that down with things like automations, and especially quizzes are brilliant for that sort of thing. So you can get data on someone. I know we both use Score app, don't we?
Yeah.
And the questions obviously help to give the report back to the person, but it gives us an idea to say, well, people struggle with this, people struggle with this. And people who are, say, struggling with this, this, and this might benefit from this video. So it does become a very personalized process, although that is a lot of work to set up, but very useful.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of work, because you can map a lot of this stuff now, so you can do more with it. So you can map a lot of the custom fields across, but then you can go one step further and actually customize the whole automation journey that that person goes on. I think it's worth it.
I think it is for the long term. Yeah. And I think as a coach now, you've got to be thinking the long term. It's not so much, I want to get people in for my 8-week program. It's, well, what happens after that 8-week program? What about in 8 months? You know, if they're still going to be a client of yours? Because again, you've got to address the churn rate of people coming in. That's great. But what about people going out? If you've always got the same people coming in as going out, your business doesn't grow.
Yeah. Good points.
So we also want to talk about the four locations, which we sort of started to talk about. So four locations, obvious ones could be Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, if you're still on Snapchat. You know, I'm not on Snapchat. But those four locations, plus email, plus YouTube, you know, all those other things. And the reason that's important for that is, I think we were talking about this before we started recording. Both me and you are on TikTok, you know, and we post there so that people who are on TikTok, but also other channels, can see our content, so they know we're talking about the same, you know, the same stuff all the time. And it just gives people that reinforcement that, oh, they're there as well, and then there as well. So it's like, you know, that familiarity of when you go somewhere and then someone else pops up who you know, you're starting to build like that know, like, and trust elements in. Whereas if you're only on Instagram, potentially leaving out all these other areas, which you potentially could reach people.
Yeah. It builds authority, doesn't it, as well? I think you'd be right to focus on maybe just a few core ones and not try and be everywhere at the start. But maybe once you're comfortable and you've built a base on like a couple or a few places, then start to look at expanding that. Because if you try and do that at the start, I think you're better focusing your attention on a couple of places. But definitely in the long term, try and then be in these places from an authority perspective as well. Backs it up.
I mean, my main platforms at the moment are Instagram and Facebook. I'm rethinking my YouTube stuff, and TikTok is basically me just reposting stuff that I post on Instagram. I mean, I've never got any clients from TikTok. I don't expect to, but the fact that I'm there as well as other places just reinforces that, like you said, it's the authority of, and he's there talking about that same stuff as well. So it builds up that familiarity.
Yeah. I think people maybe miss a trick sometimes, especially with Facebook, personal Facebook, and I don't want to use that because, you know, friends and family on there and all this. And I'm like, well, to be honest, if you want to become an authority, and there's no better space than your local friends and family or people in the area to get to know you for what you do as an expert in that, to then go, oh, actually, yeah, because now in the area, I'm sure people know you because of the gym and everything like that. And that's mega. And here, like, people will ask me if I'm out, are you still doing, you still coaching this, you're still doing that? And I'm like, yeah, we're still doing this. Because people get to see the stuff that you put on there on your personal Facebook, and I think that's got more impact that way. I think people miss a trick when they go, oh no, I keep that for, well, it's up to you, but I'm just thinking, why not?
I think so. I think if you're going to be an online coach, which is, you know, both our markets, if you're going to be that, you've got to be posting on your personal thing, because it's about you, isn't it? It's about what you do, what as a living. And I think I know, like on my Facebook, I've got obviously my friend, close friends and family who, my family never comment on my stuff. You know, they probably see my stuff, maybe, but they don't ever comment. They're on there so that I can connect with them. But the people who I really want to reach on Facebook is going to be people who are online coaches, gym owners, that sort of thing. And you can actually, I find Facebook, you can actually have better conversations. And I've noticed that with my content, certain content performs better on Facebook than it does on Instagram because the conversational element that you get with Facebook.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're missing a trick if you don't use that to your advantage as an online coach.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not just talking about pineapple on pizza, you know, engagement questions.
But it is a thing, yeah. So have the ability to go, okay, cool, I feel comfortable on these platforms, and then use them in a way that's going to help you achieve this whole principle. But yeah, I think.
Cool. We're coming up on time, and I know that you need a nap sometime soon, so call it a day. But so the main milk and cookies. So main principles: 7 hours of content. Make sure you've got content going out, long form, short form, engaging your audience. 11 touch points. Make sure people can talk to you, comment to you, download your lead magnet, and then follow that up. And then the 4 locations, make sure you are on a couple of different platforms just so that people can see you wherever they go. And that summed it up?
Absolutely. Get out there. Be proactive. Don't be a little bitch.
Don't be a little bitch. Don't moan about the business you didn't get from the work you didn't do. Buzzword.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't do these when I'm like the zero sleep.
Cool, right. I'll let you get some sleep, mate, and we'll be back next week for the next podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, and so see you next week, mate.
Bye.